Harp Chakra, the podcast, bringing you beautiful, healing, magical harp music and talking with the artists that create it. I'm your host, Jay Michaels. Thanks for being with us today. Today's guest, an American harpist who used to live in France, now lives on a sailboat in the Caribbean. She lives there with her husband, her recently born son, and two harps. She has performed around the world. Kamek Harps has featured her twice in international harp festivals in France and Italy. And she has a new album out, Into Me See, which we'll be hearing some tracks from that during the podcast today. Such a pleasure to have with us Jessica Browning. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you here. So you're actually on the boat now as we're speaking.
Yes. So if you hear waves or dinghies, that's normal.
Okay. This is incredible. I want to talk to you more about the boat and your harps and all that. But first, I'd like to know how your harp journey started. Where, when, how?
Well, my harp journey started like a lot of harpists. I was about 3 years old, and I had this idea in my head that I wanted to play the harp like the angels. And it became my obsession to listen to harp music. And we had a neighbor who lived near us, and she was a harpist. So I would go to the window and listen to her play the harp. And finally, she took me to a harp conference. And I told the people at the conference that I could play the harp, but I was four, so I obviously couldn't. Mm-hmm. But there was a teacher there that offered to give me free lessons at first. And it just became this huge passion of mine from the beginning.
From the beginning. And you studied classical music?
I studied Suzuki at first. And mm-hmm. then I switched to a Salzedo teacher when my family moved to Pennsylvania. And then I took a break from the harp. And I guess we'll talk about that later. But after a time of silence in a Buddhist monastery, I started again to study the harp. And then that was very classical, the training.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular style of harp that you're drawn to?
No. Anything that I think comes from someone's heart is mm-hmm. beautiful. I think the harp has a way of being a conduit for so many different divine feelings that we can experience. And so anything that sort of is, it's like a whistle that's sort of blown through you. I love that kind of harp music.
Yeah, excellent. So the sailboat, how big?
It's a tiny sailboat. It's a 33-foot sailboat. And okay. The harps, I have a classical lion and Healy harp, and then an electrical DHC Kamek harp. And it's amazing that we're able to fit these harps and the sound equipment and a guitar and a ukulele on our tiny boat, but we make it work.
That is amazing. We've got to talk more about that, but I'd love to hear some of your music. You've got this new CD out. It's called Into Me See. What's the meaning of that title?
Yes. The album is called Into Me See because it's a play on the word intimacy and also the literal into me see, like with eyes. And I wanted to talk about the really introverted and inward experience of being pregnant and crossing the ocean and being in the sea, and also the incredible experience of becoming a mother, which felt like we literally become the sky and at the same time are very tiny. So the poet Rumi says that we are not a drop in the ocean, but the ocean in a drop. And I hope that the title of this album invites people to remember the magnificent ocean that they are.
Oh, excellent. And this track is called Wonder Boy. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
It's called Wonder Boy because I wrote this with our first child coming into the world, Rumi Soul. And I got a letter from a family member saying, "Welcome to the wonder." And I realized when our son was born how true that was. and Rumi Soul, our baby, is the most amazing gift that has ever happened to me. It's also the most challenging thing that's ever happened too. But this song, I wanted to call it Wonder Boy because that is what I think children are. They're these divine beings that come into this sort of fragile, finite world, which is also magical, but they remind us of the wonder. So that's why I called it Wonder Boy. He reminds me of the wonder that is.
Boy, you are here.
her latest CD, Into Me See Wonder Boy. That's Jessica Browning on the podcast today. So you're writing, you're playing, you're living on a boat. It boggles the imagination, but you make it work. I just think from a, you know, it's like tuning standpoint, keeping the harps in tune, keeping the harps protected from the weather. It must be a big challenge, just all of those things, just to begin with, right?
It is. And it's sort of a whole process when I go to practice, because I have to take the harps out of their containers and retune them. What's incredible is there's not actually been really a lot of damage done to my harps being on the boat, because they're so well protected. And when I practice, I put the harps outside, so in the cockpit, which is where the concerts happen, and I look out into the whole sea. So wherever we are, I'm literally rocking in the waves and playing my harp. And anyone who's ever played a harp outside knows that the harp plays its own magical sound in the wind.
Right.
So it's an incredible experience. I literally feel like I am one with the harp and the ocean. I love it.
So are the harps both carbon fiber?
No, the Lyon and Healy harp is a wooden classical harp. So there's pedals. And I mostly play my electric harp outside. I have a little sound system that I take with me. But for the concerts, I do put the classical harp outside too. It's just easier for practicing to just
Absolutely.
Take the electrical harp outside.
Sure, because you have the elements and the sun and all, but wow. Do you break a lot of strings out there in the ocean?
No, surprisingly, not more than I would on land. That's
no
kind of surprising.
That is kind of surprising. Wow. So how has this experience being on a boat with your music, you're obviously writing music, you're recording music, you're doing concerts. How does that affect your relationship with the instrument and with your music?
Well, you know, Jay, it's interesting. I had gotten to a point in my career, which I was pretty proud of, and I felt like I was sort of on a roll with doing concerts, and I was performing all over the place, but something really felt empty inside me. I was on the road a lot, and I was trying some ways to sell my music, and I was sort of missing the soul of the harp and the soul of why I even made music in the first place, and I wanted to go back to the elements. So when we decided to do this project, there was a real intention that I would have more time to practice and to sort of get away from all the sound of the city and the hustle and bustle of touring and to really go inward. And that's happened. We also got pregnant, so I wasn't expecting that extreme kind of crossing the Atlantic Ocean while pregnant with my harps sort of situation, but that's how it happened. But I've had a lot more time to just listen and be with my instrument. And I got into a place that I was sort of angry almost at the harp. It was how I earned my money, but I was trying so hard to make it work. And to sort of take a breath back and be with my harps in the elements of nature, I've totally fallen in love again with the harp. And I've had these really beautiful moments, like, you know, we're sailing and I'm playing my harp and dolphins come up and sort of sing with me. I've seen sea turtles that will go around our boat while I'm practicing. And these experiences just have been incredible for my soul. And I've fallen in love again with music.
We've got a dolphin song on the new CD. Maybe we should go right into that one. This is, it's called The Dolphin's Cry. I think it's one of my favorites from the CD. Can you introduce the song?
Yes, I wrote this song because there were moments in our Atlantic crossing when the dolphins would come up to us. And at nighttime, dolphins literally look like a glissando in the water or a shooting star. the plankton light them up. And I had this image of just being so full. I was pregnant and so full of just life and love. And it made me weep. And so the part of the lyrics or of the song are, "You are the stars at night while the dolphins cry." And the idea is there are some times that our hearts are so full of life and of the mystery of what is, that all we can do is cry. And that's what the song is about.
"You are the sky," she sang, "while the wolves cried. You are the sky," she sang, "while the wolves cried. You are the sky," she said, "while the wolves cry. You are the sky," she said, "while the wolves cry."
To what I see.
The very beautiful song, The Dolphin's Cry, from today's guest, Jessica Browning, from her latest CD, Into Me Sea. We're talking to her today as she's floating around on her boat and doing concerts from the boat. That must have its own challenges. I mean, just electricity. What do you do for electricity?
Well, before we bought the boat, we installed a pretty hefty electrical system. Mm-hmm. It was actually a big part of our budget. And it means that we can install a lot of electricity at one time. All of our electricity is solar powered. So we're lucky right now that we're in the Caribbean because there's always sunshine. But if there's not sunshine, we'll need to sort of run the motor because it's connected to a generator that then gives us electricity. But we've never needed to do that during or a concert. And so the electricity from the day, from the sun, serves for the concert at night, if we do a night concert. Or for the day, it's the sun directly that powers the concert. So that's been quite an adventure in itself. And a lot of my music is with my electric harp. So I add effects. So the electrical part of it is kind of important. So having a good electricity system has been great for us.
And I bet out in the sunshine, the lighting is just great.
It is. And so because we're on the sea, there's this turquoise sun that is sort of all around. So for the concerts itself, people come in tiny dinghies and they connect to our boat. So the whole boat is like a moving, floating concert hall. So from my perspective, it is amazing to watch the concert because I'm watching the whole ocean and these boats behind ours, and sometimes sea turtles that come up, or fish, flying fish, fishermen, whatever's around us, I'm also watching that. So it's made concerts a really magical, very lively experience. And if there's a lot of wind and a lot of waves, that also becomes a part of the concert. So I've started to incorporate some of the sailboat sounds into the concert itself. I'll use pulleys as percussion instruments or tap. We have an aluminum boat, so I'll tap the boat and ask people themselves to hit the water as percussion sounds or to sing into the water. Since it's opened up a whole new realm of what I can do during concerts, and it's been very exciting.
Yeah. Are you doing virtual concerts as well?
We are. So every concert is also virtual.
Okay.
And the way that the concerts are safely done is that people are outside in dinghies and there's a natural separation. So no one is in our boat. So there's no risk that people could, you know, contaminate each other. And we were thinking of coming up to the United States with our boat, and we've just realized with COVID, it's too complicated. So we're having a much greater virtual presence. So we communicate the concert on Facebook, and sometimes we do private Zoom concerts as well. And people can virtually be there. And we're having to learn, as all musicians are, how to continue presenting and doing our work in this time of COVID.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for all of us, but
yeah.
But you sound like you've got a really good plan there.
Yeah. It's funny because we never set out. When we left France, it was before we knew that there was going to be a world pandemic. And I feel so lucky that we left when we did, because otherwise I think we would still be stuck in France and it would be much harder. I could still do virtual concerts, but it's very cool to do virtual concerts with the backdrop of the Caribbean Sea than, you know, my living room. So I feel very grateful for that.
Let's go back to one of your earlier CDs from 2016 called My Soul. This song is called Speak. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah. And I've struggled if I share this or not, but I think I'm going to share this. So I'm a survivor of sexual abuse, And this song I wrote after a long court case against the person that abused me. And this song is sort of a celebration of women sharing their story, of everyone sharing their story. And it's an invitation to transform what can be sort of traumatic in our life to something beautiful. And it's a real song of the celebration of the beauty of women and of all beings, and an invitation to celebrate that. And I think it's important to talk about it because so many people are survivors of abuse and there's no shame in it. And I think when we're able to talk about it, we don't feel so alone, and we're more empowered. So to anyone that survived any kind of abuse, I love you. You are a miracle, and you're going to be okay and get through this.
I just wanted bread and roses. Bread and roses.
Gets strong. She is so perfect. Strong.
Oh, my turn.
Why have I got to die?
Sister,
you're so angry.
Sister,
she's a witch.
Can she tell me to tell you
something?
Que l'arme à feu, il dure dans le temps et ne tâche pas de sans tes yeux. La poésie peut changer un esprit. Un flingue le détruit, point de non-retour. Efficace, cache, tu craches une rime qui traverse le temps et frappe ses tambours. Et comme un chant venu de l'océan, j'ai posé ma main sur ton cœur. J'ai entendu des milliers de rivières venues de tous les pays du monde voyager dans ton esprit libre.
Thank you.
That is Speak from Jessica Browning from the CD My Soul. And well, thank you so much for that introduction to the song. Thank you so much for that song. How moving and touching that is. And just thank you.
Thank you, Jay. And thank you for this podcast, because you have such a way of sharing love through it. And so thank you for making this a safe place that I could feel safe to talk about this. And also know that if people are listening, it could touch their hearts too. So thank you, Jay.
Oh, you're welcome. I was really touched by that. I was really moved by that.
And thank you.
I appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay.
We've got another song, but before we get to that, I wanted to talk to you about motherhood. You're a mother, a musician, and on a boat, all these things. It's just amazing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So when I became a mother, I wasn't aware of the impact it would have on my career and on the amount of time that I have to performing and to writing music and practicing. And I've quickly found that there was almost this sort of reluctance for mothers to bring their children to their work. And by work, I meant concerts or networking. I felt and I found that it was almost like you could be either a mother or a musician, but those two worlds didn't really collide. And yes, there are many albums about lullabies, but I never heard an album which directly addressed motherhood, which is one of the most incredible things becoming a parent that we can experience. And I also totally respect every person's choice to or to not have children. It doesn't make, you know, me more of a woman that I've gone through this, but it was a really conscious choice to have Rumi Soul, our baby. And I wanted to make an album that celebrated that and didn't shy away from the fact that my life is totally different than before Rumi. And it's kind of messy and also magical. So we do concerts on the boat, and at many of the concerts, my son has woken up and started crying. So I finished some concerts when he was really young. Well, he still is. He's 11 months, but breastfeeding my baby in one hand, playing the harp with another hand, singing, and finally just finishing the concert a little early, doing an a cappella song while holding my baby. And I realized that I felt so fragile, and there was this sort of power that arose in me, and I realized there's nothing shameful about having this incredible being in my life, and I don't want to have to choose one or the other. So I wanted to do an album that celebrates motherhood and also supports mothers and young families, because Jay, it's a struggle. You know, you don't sleep, your body isn't your own anymore. And it's also the most incredible divine love that I've ever felt. So that's part of why the album has been so important and transformational for me.
You know, I have a good friend who plays the harp. Her name is Kathleen Finnegan, and we play at some of the same Renaissance fairs together. And she had a baby a few years ago and would actually bring her to fair. She would wrap her all up, and she'd be right against her body when she played the harp. And she was with her all the time when she did concerts. And she turned out to be just a lovely child. And I think you're doing the right thing there.
Thank you.
Tying into motherhood, we've got this last track we want to feature from the new CD. It's called Wild Birth Song.
So we made the choice to have a home birth, and we did a lot of preparation. For the story, we left France when I was 7 months pregnant, And I was 6.5 months pregnant. And then we crossed the ocean when I was 7 months pregnant. And when we arrived in Martinique, our son was born 20 days later. So it sounds really kind of risky and a little crazy. My parents thought that I'd lost my mind, but we did ultrasounds at every stop. And we worked with midwives and doulas and did a lot of preparation work for the home birth. And we had a really great pregnancy. And the home birth itself, Rumi was not born on our boat, but we rented an Airbnb. And we had a very qualified midwife man from Martinique that was there. He was just an angel. And as I said before, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. And for me, our birth story was one of the most powerful, empowering experiences I've had with my body, where I sort of went into this meditative state and it was very, very intense, but I felt so in connection with my body, with Rumi, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And so I wrote a song about that experience. And I also wanted to share it because I think there are so many really terrifying stories around birth, and every birth is beautiful no matter how it happens, and not one birth is better for another. I was just very grateful that we were able to have such a peaceful and powerful and not traumatic for me or our son birth. And birth can also be that. It doesn't have to be a very traumatic experience. So I wanted to share that. And I also hope it's an invitation for everyone to birth whatever it is within them that wants to be born.
That is Wild Birth Song, the CD Into Me See, the artist, the harpist, the singer, the composer, Jessica Browning. Blueharp.com is the website, BLEWHARP.com. Jessica will include that link in our show notes. We'll also include links to Spotify, Amazon, etc., where people can download or stream your new CD, find out more about you, and learn more about your amazing story.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Yeah, thank you for being a guest. Thanks for reaching out. It was just wonderful to talk to you from your boat in the ocean. And talk a little harp and a different little different way of doing things, and it's pretty cool. Thank you for doing what you do, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jay. You too.
If you have questions, guest suggestions, please email me, openingtheheartchakra@yahoo.com. We've also included some links to PayPal and Venmo if you'd like to contribute to the production of this podcast. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Please share. In the coming weeks, we have more beautiful heart music from around the world. I'm Jay Michaels. Thank you. Peace. Namaste.